I just realized a moment ago, as I was looking down at my pants, I realized that I put on the pants of my blue suit and the jacket of my gray suit, and I didn't sleep very well. I was having nightmares of Leighton Vander Esch. Oh my word! What a beast! Okay. For Advent this year, we're going to be in the beginning of Luke's Gospel, the first chapter of Luke's Gospel. Luke tells us more of the backstory of John the Baptist than any of the other four Gospel writers. He begins his story of Jesus, not with Joseph and Mary, but with Zechariah and Elizabeth, the parents of John the Baptist. So, I'm going to read Luke chapter 1, and it's a long text, verses 5 through 25. Hear now the word of God. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord, but they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, Zechariah was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord, their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, and turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." This is the word of the Lord. Would you bow with me for prayer? Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come as the fire and burn. Come as the water and cleanse. Come as the light and illumine. Amen. And I did read just a little bit less than I said I was going to read, because that's really where I wanted to end, right there at the end of verse 17. Just back in October, we were focusing on the Reformation and learning a little bit of Reformation history along the way. And just one more little bit of Reformation tidbit from the 16th century and that great reform movement in Europe that breathed new life of the Holy Spirit into the Church of Jesus Christ. Our forebear John Calvin would be appalled that we are observing Advent. I'm serious. He wanted to do away completely with the church year. He didn't even want to celebrate Christmas. When he was leading the reform in the city of Strasbourg, he tried to outlaw the celebration of Christmas. Now the His reasoning is will take way too long to go into, except to say that he believed, and other reformers along with him believed, that observing penitential seasons like Advent and Lent, that it fed a superstition that somehow we had to be really miserable in order to get God to forgive us. And we had to pass through these penitential seasons of being miserable and fasting and deprivation rather than simply trusting in the forgiveness that God offers us through the cross of Christ. So, tossing out Advent was probably a good idea back then. We've now kind of come full circle that at least most Protestants, and maybe I just speak for myself, and well, I'll speak for you too. to see again the wisdom in the church here. Now, don't lapse into any superstition about it. It's we don't have to make ourselves feel really bad in Advent so that we can then enjoy Christmas. No. The wisdom in the church year, in my experience, is that it puts me in touch with parts of me that I might be tempted to just ignore or gloss over if the church year didn't call me into places I don't necessarily want to go. And one of those places that we don't really want to go is our longing. And part of what Advent is all about is reconnecting with your longing. Luke begins the story of Jesus, not with Mary and Joseph, but with Zechariah and Elizabeth. They're the parents of John the Baptist. Zechariah was a senior priest serving in the Jerusalem temple. It was a prestigious job, and both he and his wife Elizabeth were from prestigious families. Luke tells us both of them, I'm reading verse 6, Luke tells us they were righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord, but there was a big, empty place in their lives. They had no child. Now, today in our world, that's not, well, I recognize that today in our world, that can still be a source of pain to couples that want a child and don't have one. But the difference back then, you can be childless today and not face the judgment of society. People today can, if they're childless, they can seek medical help, they can adopt, or they can just rearrange their life goals, painful as it might be. But none of those were options for Zechariah and Elizabeth. Their society had no notion of adoption. An orphan child would go to extended family, not to strangers. And in that society at that time, it was simply assumed that the highest goal of life was to have children. And children were your social security. They were, if you were childless, who's going to look out for you in your old age? So when Luke tells us Elizabeth and Zechariah were getting on in years and they were still childless, he's really telling us they had no hope. And it's safe to assume that they had been praying about this for a long time. Luke tells us they were devout. Zechariah is a priest, and he's not just going through the motions. He's devout. He loves the Lord. As a priest, every time he offered sacrifice, he would watch that smoke curling up into the sky, and I wonder, did he wonder if his prayers were just doing the same thing? Just going up there into the sky and disappearing. It's safe to assume that friends and family helped them out with explanations that were less than helpful. And some of those explanations were spiritual. Maybe there's some sin, and this is God's judgment. But we know that's not the case. Luke says they were blameless. And really, how often does the Bible say that about anybody? Perhaps they were told, well, it's just the will of God. And that, by the way, dear friends, is one of the most hurtful and useless things that anybody can say to anybody else. Because we don't know. Some explanations were subtly despairing. Don't worry about it, they would say. You have your health, and Zechariah has such a good job. And I'm certain, they're devout. I'm certain that they were grateful to God for the blessings that they did have. And I also will surmise that they would have traded all those blessings for a child. So the story of the birth of Jesus begins with longing. Luke begins his story with longing. Heartbreaking longing. And brothers and sisters, if we are going to make our way to Bethlehem once again in this season of Advent, if we are going to be refreshed in our union with Christ, the place to begin is with your longing. Something we often try to bury, but it's there. I think that most of our sins, most of the ways that we hurt ourselves and we hurt others, are the result of illegitimate and sinful ways of trying to fill our longings or make the pain go away. We work too hard. We drink too much. We transfer our longings onto our children and mess up their lives, hoping that they'll perform. We rush into bad relationships. We make impulsive decisions. We live to consume, thinking that, more things will fill the void. Or we just become mean and cynical in our disappointment and longings that we can no longer face. This got me thinking about popular Christmas movies and how many popular Christmas movies are really all about longing. Think about It's a Wonderful Life. Jimmy Stewart is longing for a life of significance and accomplishment, isn't he? And success. Little Natalie Wood in Miracle on 34th Street is longing for a home and a family. Rudolph longs to be accepted, red nose and all. And these stories, they have one thing in common, and this includes all of those Hallmark movies. They are all wrapped up and tied with a neat little bow in 90 minutes with a happy ending. And I like happy endings as much as the next person, but life doesn't work that way, does it? Maybe your longing is for intimacy. And maybe even if you've been married for a long time and still longing for intimacy. Or maybe you're just longing for a true friend who will see the real you and love you. Or maybe your longing is for health. You're just hoping to get through the next day without pain or without that feeling that your body's wearing out on you. Maybe you're longing for a dream, a fresh dream for your life. Maybe you learned a long time ago how to make money, but now you'd like to have a life that really makes a difference. Maybe your dream has grown tattered over the years. Maybe the dream was for a family, and you got the family, and now they're scattered all over the country. And that's not what you dreamed. Well, maybe like Zechariah and Elizabeth, and I think that we all find ways of doing this, like Zechariah and Elizabeth, you found a way to adjust to your disappointment. What if the thing you long for is something that you'll just never have? Now, by the way, some longings are completely irrational, but we long for them anyway. Let me give you some examples. Have you ever longed for a better past? It's crazy, but we do. You've longed for the chance to go back and revise your history. Have you ever longed for more time with a loved one who has died? I have. Have you ever longed for a do-over of old sins that keep replaying in your head? I have. Just because these longings are irrational, that doesn't stop us from longing. So what's the point of longing for a child when you are the age of Zechariah and Elizabeth? Zechariah, no doubt, just coped by staying busy, his chores as a priest. And really, that makes sense. That's a good way to deal with it. And part of the way we are going to try to cover our longing over the next 4 weeks of Advent is we're going to get really, really busy, right? But the good news of Jesus Christ reminds us, the gospel reminds us that Jesus entered right into our busyness. Jesus was born in Bethlehem because his parents had to rush there by the requirement of the Roman census. The Lord appeared to Zechariah as he was going about his priestly chores. And the first thing God did was renew his completely irrational longing. Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. And you shall call his name John. And you know I was going to get to this, that what we really long for is God. We stick all kinds of other things in there, but what we're really most deeply longing for is a relationship with our Maker, with our Heavenly Father. We want to know God and be known by God. We want to live in a world filled with the presence of God. We want lives filled with the presence of God. And brothers and sisters, in such a world, anything can happen. Sin and failure can be redeemed. Broken lives can make a new beginning. Tattered old prayers can still be answered. But usually not in the way that we imagined. When Zechariah and Elizabeth finally got the child that they had been longing for and praying for, oh my word, it's John the Baptist. This odd guy who lives out in the wilderness would never marry, would never give them grandkids, lives this solitary existence. But what a gift. He was the man who would prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah, Jesus. This is the way Gabriel said it. The angel Gabriel said, he will make ready for the Lord a people prepared. And I want to ask you today, do you want to be prepared for the coming of the Lord into your life? I know you do. I do. Zechariah and Elizabeth prayed for what they wanted. They wanted a child. But God gave them what they really needed, a Savior. Always pray for what you want. I sometimes get asked as a pastor, how should I pray for what you want? He's your Father. Tell Him what you want. But God wants to give you what you really need, which is Jesus, your Savior. So go ahead and pray your longing. Yearning for a better childhood may sound irrational, but it can prepare you to receive Jesus in a fresh way, in a way that He heals what is broken from your childhood. He forgives and redeems and leads you into a new life as a child of God. The yearning to be a better parent. And maybe all your parenting is done. Once again, it's irrational. The yearning to be a better parent can prepare you to receive Jesus Christ in a fresh way and to trust Him and that He is the only one who can save your children. The yearning for better relationships can prepare you for Jesus, who alone fully knows you and accepts you and forgives you. And until you receive that forgiveness from Him, you'll never really enjoy relationships with the people around you, because you'll be looking to them to save you, and they can't. So I'm going to invite you this Advent, take some time with the Lord, do business with the Lord, find time with Him every day, and ask Him to help you get in touch with your longing. What are you longing for? Open your heart to Jesus Christ, and He'll show you that what you have always most longed for is Him. Amen? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we do long to know You, to see You in a fresh way, to experience You in our lives in a new and fresh way. And I pray for each one here that this season of Advent will be a time of surrender, of opening our lives to You. Give us grace by Your Holy Spirit. Interrupt our busyness, I pray. There's a lot of busyness ahead, a lot of shopping and parties and food to be prepared and family gatherings to plan. But Lord, in all of that, I pray, give us open hearts and lives to receive You afresh. I pray it in Your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.